The thing in the guitar case. The next day, I called my uncle and told him I might be moving out of the house sometime in the next few weeks. I apologized for springing it on him so suddenly, but explained that it was because Kumiko had left me, with just as little warning. There was no point in covering up any more. I told him that she had written to say she would not be coming back, and that I wanted to get away from this place, though exactly for how long I could not be sure. My summary explanation was followed by a thoughtful silence at my uncle's end of the line. He seemed to be mulling something over. Then he said,
"Mind if I come over there for a visit sometime soon? I'd like to see with my own eyes what's going on, and I haven't been to the house for quite a while now."
My uncle came to the house 2 evenings later. He looked at my mark, but had nothing to say about it. He probably didn't know what to say. He just gave it a funny look, with his eyes narrowed. He had brought me a good bottle of scotch and a pack of fish-paste cakes that he had bought in Odawara. We sat on the veranda, eating the cakes and drinking the whiskey.
"What a pleasure it is to be sitting on a veranda again,"
my uncle said, nodding several times.
"Our condo doesn't have one, of course. Sometimes I really miss this place. There's a special feeling you get on a veranda that you just can't get anywhere else."
For a while he sat there, gazing at the moon, a slim white crescent of a moon that looked as if someone had just finished sharpening it. That such a thing could go on floating in the sky seemed almost miraculous to me. Then, in an utterly offhand manner, my uncle asked,
"How'd you get that mark?"
"I really don't know," I said, and took a gulp of whiskey. "All of a sudden it was there. Maybe a week ago. I wish I could explain it better, but I just don't know how."
"Did you go to the doctor?"
I shook my head.
"I don't want to stick my nose in where I'm not wanted, but just let me say this. You really ought to sit down and think hard about what it is that's most important to you."
I nodded. "I have been thinking about that," I said. "But things are so complicated and tangled up, I can't seem to separate them out and do one thing at a time. I don't know how to untangle things." My uncle smiled.
"You know what I think? I think what you ought to do is start by thinking about the simplest things and go from there. For example, you could stand on a street corner somewhere day after day and look at the people who come by. You're not in any hurry to decide anything. It may be tough, but sometimes you've got to just stop and take time. You ought to train yourself to look at things with your own eyes until something becomes clear. And don't be afraid of putting some time into it. Spending plenty of time on something can be the most sophisticated form of revenge."
"Revenge? What do you mean, revenge? Revenge against whom?"
"You'll understand soon enough,"
said my uncle, with a smile. All told, we sat on the veranda drinking together for something over an hour. Then, announcing that he had stayed too long, my uncle stood up and left. Alone again, I sat on the veranda, leaning against a pillar and staring out at the garden under the moon. For a time, I was able to breathe deeply the air of realism, or whatever it was that my uncle left behind, and to feel, for the first time in a very long time, a sense of genuine relief. Within a few hours, though, that air began to dissipate, and a kind of cloak of pale sorrow came to envelop me once again. In the end, I was in my world again, and my uncle was in his. My uncle had said that I should think about the simplest things first, but I found it impossible to distinguish between what was simple and what was difficult. And so, the next morning, after the rush hour had ended, I took the train to Shinjuku. I decided just to stand there and look at people's faces. I didn't know if it would do any good, but it was probably better than doing nothing. If looking at people's faces until you got sick of them was an example of a simple thing, then it couldn't hurt to give it a try. If it went well, it just might give me some indication of what constituted the simple things for me. The first day, I spent 2 full hours sitting on the low brick wall that ran along the edge of the raised flower bed outside Shinjuku Station, watching the faces of the people who passed by. But the sheer numbers of people were too great, and they walked too quickly. I couldn't manage a good look at any one person's face. To make matters worse, Some homeless guy came over to me after I had been there for a while and started haranguing me about something. A policeman came by several times, glaring at me. So I gave up on the busy area outside the station and decided to look for a place better suited to the leisurely study of passers-by. I went along the passageway under the tracks on the west side of the station, and after I had spent some time walking around, I found a small tiled plaza outside a glass high-rise. It had a little sculpture and some handsome benches where I could sit and look at people as much as I liked. The numbers were nowhere near as great as outside the main entrance of the station, and there weren't any homeless guys here with bottles of whiskey stuck in their pockets. I spent the day there, making do for lunch with some donuts and coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, and going home before the evening rush. At first, the only ones who caught my eye were the men with thinning hair, thanks to the training I had received doing surveys with Mei Kasahara for the toupee maker. Before I knew it, my gaze would lock onto a bald head, and I'd have the man classified as A, B, or C. At this rate, I might just as well have called Mei Kasahara and volunteered to join her for work again. After a few days had gone by, though, I found myself capable of just sitting and watching people's faces without a thought in my head. Most of the ones who passed by were men and women who worked in offices in a high-rise. The men wore white shirts and ties and carried briefcases. The women mostly wore high-heeled shoes. Others I saw included patrons of the building's restaurants and shops, family groups headed for the observation deck on the top floor, and a few people who were just passing through, walking from point A to point B. Most of the people tended not to walk very quickly. I just let myself watch them all without any clear purpose. From time to time there would be people who attracted my interest for some reason or other, and then I would concentrate on their faces and follow them with my eyes. Every day I would take the train to Shinjuku at 10 o'clock, after the rush hour, sit on the bench in the plaza, and stay there almost motionless until 4, staring at people's faces. Only after I had tried this out did I realize that by training my eyes on one passing face after another, I was able to empty my head completely, like pulling the cork from a bottle. I spoke to no one, and no one spoke to me. I thought nothing, I felt nothing. I often had the sense that I'd become part of the stone bench.